I have often put myself back in the first century and thought about, you know, where I would have been and what I might have been doing when Jesus was alive here on earth. And, for example, sometimes I've said to myself, had I been one of the original apostles, with which one would I most identify with? I've also thought about the fact that, you know, if I had been in the crowd when Jesus performed a miracle, what would my response have been to that? But I've also thought about that crucifixion day, and I said to myself, had I been in Jerusalem on the morning that Christ was crucified, how near the cross would I have been? It's one thing to sing, Jesus, keep me near the cross. It's quite another thing to stay near to the cross and realize that all we are and all that we have, all that we ever shall be, is because Jesus was crucified on that cross to save our souls from hell and take us to heaven. If you think about that crucifixion scene, did you ever take a look at the people who were immediately around the cross? Well, of course there were soldiers, Roman soldiers, naturally. And we studied a few weeks ago, Simon the Cyrenian. I'm not sure he wanted to be there, but he was there because he had to carry Jesus' cross. Did you know that there were professional mourners there? They were paid to cry and wail and weep for the people who were being tortured by crucifixion. They are referred to as the Daughters of Jerusalem. And Jesus looked over at them and he said, "Don't weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children." Think about that one. There were Bible translators at the crucifixion scene. They're called scribes. It was their job to copy the scriptures and to translate the scriptures. And there they were, the Bible says, right there at the crucifixion, Bible translators. What a crowd. And then there was one of the apostles there. We are told that the apostle John was there. But the question I have is, where were the rest of them? And then there were ladies who were there at the crucifixion scene, and one of them was our Lord's mother, Mary. Mary, who gave birth to Jesus, was right there at the cross when he died. Can you imagine what she was thinking? And you may remember that that Jesus spoke from the cross and recognized his mother, and then said to John, basically, in paraphrase, "John, will you take care of my mother? Because I won't be here." And John, it says, from that day on, took her and cared for her. There was another lady there. The scripture says her name is Mary Magdalene. And there she was at the cross. I'd like to take a closer look at Mary Magdalene today. As I look through the scriptures, I found out some things about her and also kind of traced where she was when Jesus was crucified. Let's begin in Mark chapter 15, because that's our text, the Gospel of Mark. But I'm going to quickly move from 15 over to the Gospel of John. But start in Mark chapter 15, verse 40. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 15, verse 40. There were also women looking on from afar, among whom, and here it is, were Mary Magdalene and the mother of James the Less and of Joses and Salome, who also followed him and ministered to him when he was in Galilee, and many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. So notice, Mary Magdalene was there. It says, looking on from afar. But watch this. Turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 19. The Gospel of John, chapter 19. Look at verse 25. John 19:25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus. So they're right there at the cross. His mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son," referring to John. And then he said to the disciple, "John, behold your mother," referring to Mary. And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. But did you notice that this says, Mary Magdalene was among those who stood by the cross? And I would have a question for her standing there, because I would say to her, "You know, Mary, you're standing right here by the cross of Jesus Christ. There are a lot of people who don't care anything about him. Why are you standing here right by the cross, looking up at Jesus?" And I think she would have responded, "Well, this man delivered me from the power of Satan and darkness into the wonderful light of the kingdom of God." I think that's what she would say. I want you to notice something about this lady, Mary Magdalene. We don't have a lot of information, but let me show you what we do have. Would you turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8? The Gospel of Luke, chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, beginning at verse 1, "Now it came to pass afterward that he went through every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And certain women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, diseases, Mary, called Magdalene, out of whom had come 7 demons." Oh, now I get it. She was a woman who had demons. That's what she lived with. By the way, her demons were literal. Jesus cast 7, not one, not two, interesting, 7 of them came out of her. She was a demon-possessed person. They're literal. I mean, by the way, some of us have demons to deal with. Maybe not literal ones, but all of us have stuff that we deal with, right? If you ever say of somebody, "Yeah, well, I'm telling you, boy, he sure is fighting demons," you don't necessarily mean literally, but we get it. But that doesn't just happen. Mary Magdalene, those demons didn't just come in, I don't think. Most of the time what happens is a person has made choices and other choices which allow demons and satanic influence to come upon their lives. Chances are, if demons are giving you a real difficult time, think about the choices you've made. I don't know. You may have made some poor choices which have left you open and vulnerable to the satanic influences in this world. I think that Mary Magdalene was demon-possessed because she'd made some pretty poor choices. I don't know what they were. If you make bad choices, things can go bad. Let's face it, if a marriage has gone bad, there have been some poor choices along the way somewhere by one of the persons, at least in the marriage, maybe both. But Jesus Christ had changed her life. She had apparently come to him, and he cast those demons out of her, and her life was changed. And so when he was crucified, she stood right there by the cross. Because I think she would say, yeah, because this man changed my life, saved my soul, freed me from darkness, and brought me into the light of the kingdom of God. That's what he did for me. So we know this about Mary Magdalene. She had had demons. Second thought I have, it is what we don't know about Mary Magdalene that allows all of us to identify with her. You say, what do you mean? We don't have any record of her parents, so we can't blame them. We don't know her marital status. Was she single? Married? Divorced? Was she a mother? Was she a single parent? It doesn't matter. If you're a single parent, if you're divorced, if you're single, if you're married, it doesn't matter. If you come to Jesus Christ, he can free you from the bondage of sin. We don't know her age. We're never told. Was she a teenager? Well, maybe not. Was she 30-something? Was she a woman who was older? Scripture doesn't say. And whatever your age, young people, God can save you and change you. Or for some, even in our congregation, you have told me there was a time when you lived for the devil and the world and all the rest. And here you came into later years, 50, 60, 70, and finally you came to Christ. And he changed you and saved you and delivered you. So we don't know. But I'm glad we don't know her age, because God can change people at any age. And by the way, we do not know her specific sins. You say, well, she's demon-possessed. I know. But I don't know what that means. And now I'm going to tell you something that comes from church tradition. And I heard this early in my study of Scripture. I don't remember when I first heard a person say it, but in the particular church I was at, when her name came up, they said, oh yeah, she was a prostitute. And I said, oh yeah, I guess, I don't know. Did you know that that has been passed down through the church through the years, and the Scripture never, ever says that? So I'm going to get that out of my mind. Isn't it interesting, the stuff that we pick up and pass along that isn't true? She is called Mary Magdalene. Magdala was a city on the western side of the Sea of Galilee between Tiberias and Capernaum. And so she was Mary of Magdala. Mary Magdalene. Sort of like Jesus of Nazareth. That's where he was brought up. Or Judas Iscariot. He was from the city of Kerioth. Iscariot. So it's kind of interesting. Sometimes church tradition just isn't true. There's no biblical basis for it. So we don't need to know what a person's specific sins are. When I talk to people about the Lord and how God can save them, and I have had people say this to me, Pastor Lancaster, you have no idea the way I'm living and what I'm doing. And I usually maybe let them finish their sentence, and then I'll say, stop. The Bible I read and the Jesus Christ that I follow, the Savior of the world, I don't care how bad your life is. I don't care what your sins are. He can save you and cleanse you and change you and free you from your sins. I'm glad we sang all those songs today. I was listening. There were many of them he chose that had to do with being free from the power of Satan and darkness and what the crucifixion's done for us. Yes, that's Mary Magdalene. So we don't know too much about her, but we know she had demons. We don't know much about, you know, her age and background, but we know that that allows us to all identify with her in one way or another. But we do know that she was at the cross. As they say, the Gospel of John says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus, Mary Magdalene. Now, would you turn back to Mark 15? We are studying our way through the Gospel of Mark. We are in chapter 15. And we have already read the verse which says, in verse 40, there were women looking from afar. Among them were Mary Magdalene. We're later told that she was standing by the cross. By the way, as I wrote this message, some songs came to my mind. I'm not going to sing them for you, but I mean, for example, do you remember what Fanny Crosby wrote? Jesus, keep me near the cross. There a precious fountain, free to all a healing stream, flows from Calvary's mountain. Do you remember this one? Beneath the cross of Jesus, I fain would take my stand. The shadow of a mighty work within a weary land, a home within the wilderness, a rest upon the way, from the burning of the noontide heat and the burden of the day. Jesus, keep us near the cross. That's where Mary Magdalene was. So no wonder she was standing there after we see what the Lord had done for her. Then I noticed she was there when he was buried. You're in Mark 15. Look at verse 44. Pilate marveled that he, referring to Jesus, was already dead. And summoning the centurion, he asked him if he had been dead for some time. So when he found out from the centurion, he granted the body to Joseph. That's Joseph of Arimathea. Then he brought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen. And he laid him in a tomb which had been hewn out of the rock, and rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, observed where he was laid. Interesting. God bless her. She's there standing at the by the cross when he was crucified. When they take his body over to a particular area, put it in a tomb, she saw where they put his body. Watch this. 3 days later, guess who is there early in the morning? Mark 16. Now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, there she is again, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. Interesting. There she is, early in the morning at the tomb. They said among themselves, "Who's going to roll away the stone for us?" Well, they looked up and they saw the stone had been rolled away. They entered the tomb, saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right hand. They were alarmed. But he said to them, "Don't be afraid, don't be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He's risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he's going before you into Galilee, and there you'll see him as he said." And so they went out quickly and fled from the tomb. And they were trembled and were amazed. They said nothing to anyone. They were afraid. She was there when Jesus was crucified. She was there when they put the body in the tomb. 3 days later, she's back there at the graveside on resurrection morning. And when you look at this, look at verse 9 now, Mark 15 or 16. Now when he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 demons. And she went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. Oh, what a sweet touch. Let me tell you, I don't think it would have been easy to stand by the cross. I'm just thinking about that whole circumstance, people yelling at Jesus and all this stuff that was going on. But there she stood, because I know what this man has done for me. She wasn't afraid to take all that other stuff, nor should we be. When we realize what Jesus Christ has done for us, give us a home in heaven. I started a little study personally. It's not in my notes, but this week I started a personal Bible study about heaven. I know I'm soft-hearted, so you could say, "Yeah, well, that's your." I started that Bible study. And I got a commentary out, and I was reading through it, and this particular pastor gave an illustration about a person who lost their father. And I am telling you, I could not get through the paragraphs reading it for crying. Because then I thought about heaven, and I thought about all the people I know over there. And it isn't wrong to miss them here. When Jesus saw Lazarus, and he knew he was going to raise him from the dead, I'm sure. When Jesus finally saw what sin had done to Lazarus and to all of us. Dead. It made Jesus weep. Nothing wrong with crying. But I thought more about heaven. And I'm sure Mary Magdalene was thinking those same things about if he can do this, change my life, I believe him when he says he can take me to heaven because he supernaturally transformed me. I have one more passage I want you to see. Because this says he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. One of the Gospels tells us what he said. Would you turn to John 20? John 20. In the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 11. Now, if you don't know the context, this is the Sunday morning. This is the first day of the week. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and she looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Mary Magdalene said, "Because they've taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they've laid him." Now, when she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but did not know it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" And she, supposing him to be the gardener. By the way, the scripture, and I won't go into this, but another passage says Jesus appeared after his resurrection in another form. It's a whole other study. A resurrected body, but it was not easily identified, okay? So that's why she doesn't recognize him. But Jesus said, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary," and she turned. Oh, she wasn't looking directly at that gardener. She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Teacher." She recognizes Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Don't cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. And I have the my's and yours circled in this verse. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father," and look what he says, "and your Father, to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. When she heard that voice, she recognized it. "This is the one who changed me, Lord Jesus." And he says to her, "I'm going to my Father, and he's your Father too, because I saved you." I tell you, to me, as I studied through Mary Magdalene, I didn't realize there was such a good sermon there. How sweet and tender is that? And I will tell you, if you're weeping, yes, we know the Lord is with us, we have the Holy Spirit, but if you're weeping, going through circumstances, just remember, our Lord Jesus is a tender-hearted, loving, compassionate Savior, and He cares about how you feel. And you just cast all of your care upon Him, as the Scripture said, knowing that He cares for you and for me. Thank you, Lord, for the way you treated Mary Magdalene and for your tenderness in the way we know that you love and treat us. Help us, Lord, to keep our eyes upon you, our heart in tune with you, and to continue to walk in fellowship with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.